And we're live. This is Ben, and welcome to Agents of Speak, companion show to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., part of the Superhero Speak podcast family. Tonight, we have an interesting lineup, as usual. We have John, who is having some video technical difficulties, but he will be with us nonetheless. Say hi, John.
I'm actually in an undisclosed location trying to help head off the default between the Republicans and the Democrats.
Nice, nice.
But, of course, this is more important than that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking a break.
Yes, and joining us as a guest tonight, we have Peter Shepley, a fellow geek and fan of the show, and he will be subbing in. Both Scott and Dave are unfortunately unavailable this week. But we prevail, and carry on.
Thank you for that grand introduction there, Ben. It was fantastic.
I try to build things up.
I understand. So.
Just remember, you were in at least the top 10 of our, backup people. So.
Yeah. Right. Nice. And you won by proximity.
Right.
So. Yes.
So anyway, we had episode 4 tonight. It's an interesting different one. We started off with the Red Mask people, which we really weren't sure what to expect from them. I think there was, at least my initial thought was, those might end up being somehow tied to the villain of the week or something along those lines. But as we found out, they were actually just an array of anonymous bag carriers, essentially, to basically discreetly transport some diamonds. A job for which they failed. But it did give the introduction of our, enemy of the week, which was the former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent who seemed to have some interesting abilities up her sleeve. So what did we think of the opener and our skill set that we had here with this new, biotechnology?
Well, personally, yeah, Peeping Tom Eye. I think it seems like another kind of reference to maybe one of those big groups like the one from Iron Man 3.
Right, like AIM.
It's got to be. I'm thinking AIM, but I like the way they presented it in that it was an intelligent guy behind it, or behind both of them.
We can
talk about spoilers, because you always get these storylines where the guy's controlling somebody from far away, and they just traced it back and they found him. Well, yeah, but if you're smart, you'd have a guy controlling a guy controlling a guy.
I love how they set that up. They kept adding on to it. It was like, well, first it was just going to be this from the Red Mask guys. It was like, oh, it's going to be some occult that's trying to, ruin civilization in some fashion. But then they build upon that to introduce this, a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent. And it was very surprising that they led with that. To me, anyway. They just threw it right in there. It's like, oh, okay. That throws a wrench into any theory that you could ever possibly come up with,
Yeah.
I like how I don't want to go too far ahead into the episode, but they put it as someone behind the mask.
And right.
They continued going with that. It was really good.
Yeah, just having having her carry out these actions, that you on the surface think that she's the one who's perpetrating these on her own accord, when in actuality, yes, she is the weapon, but she's also equally a hostage to this situation. She's taking those orders, and it is sort of jumping forward, but we're going to go ahead and do that. Basically, with any of these types of things, if she didn't carry out her mission, there was a kill switch that would get set off, and she basically would be dead, and that would suck. But hypothetical, if you had, minus the kill switch and the being given orders all the time, would you take the ability to have the X-ray vision at the cost of having everything you see be able to be viewed by someone else?
Well, that's an excellent question. John, why don't you start that one? Since we can't see you, you must be able to see us. That's,
right.
Is it?
Well, yeah, I'm having fun with that, actually. So, all right. So would I take the ability to see through objects if somebody would... No. No, I wouldn't. I think the way she presented it was perfect. It's a prison.
Yeah.
It's just the idea of somebody always being able to see what you're seeing and possibly controlling you. Mm-hmm. Not good. Not good. I wouldn't take that for anything.
Right.
Well, I agree with that, except, I mean, you have to take it one step further and say, well, would you, I mean, so I'm gonna pose an alternate question to that, is would you just die, let yourself die, instead of becoming a weapon for someone else? You know, because she was essentially blackmailed, I guess, or
right.
You know,
she was
into,
a hostage.
Yeah, in she was put into that situation, and she...
Right. She was essentially... You know, that person that you take, you strap a bomb onto them and make them go rob a bank, they're going to do it because otherwise, you know, they're going to get blown up.
Yeah, you know, I think Pete's onto something, though, because, I mean, considering her training.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, depending on what they had been telling her to do all this time, they're, you know, it's a very high probability that she should have come across something where they told her to do something where it would have gone directly against what she had been taught by Coulson, and she should have taken herself out of the game.
Yeah, but I think there's also a factor that, you know, she's been doing this for some time. It's not something she's just started doing. She's been doing it for a while. And I think that, like, first of all, being an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., there's probably a great degree of things that she's done that she might not have done, you know, by her own choice or volition, just in the line of duty. So, in this new thing, she was grateful to be alive, and once you start going down that slippery slope, as objectionable, like, she probably did find it objectionable, the things that she was being told to do, but, you know, it's once you start going down it, it's hard to turn back.
Well,
it's
right.
It's hard to draw a line.
She even said it, like, it started out as, like, you know, steal this, steal that, but...
Yeah.
Right when she was talking to Coulson about, you know, she went through a bunch of surgeries and then suddenly had vision back in her eye. It was like giving a gift to her, but taking something greater away from her. You know what?
Right.
It's that kind of juxtaposition.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Trying to engender a little Stockholm syndrome there, I guess. To, you know, we've given you this eye. Now you owe
us.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, no, I still, you know, well, like I said, it depends on what they had made her do. I mean, there comes a certain point in, if you follow that down the path, there comes a certain point where you might get to a point where there's something you won't do, like, you know, shoot that baby carriage. Yeah, no, that's
well,
it.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
I'm done. But,
yeah.
You know, if she's stealing diamonds and stuff from, you know, a large bank... I think many of us would decide to do that.
Right. It feels like a victimless crime.
Yes.
Right.
We are not
right.
condoning that, though, here at HL.
No. just rationalizing it for the show.
Yes, yes. Yes. And only for the show.
Right.
So... However, we still don't know where John is, by the way.
Right. His location is classified. So... Moving along, go ahead, John.
No, after you, by all means.
So, so obviously we had the events that they found out what was going on with her. They managed to abduct her and bring her in without her handler knowing, which was pretty clever, I'd have to say. By the way, I did enjoy the little joke of the team in the truck being called the short bus.
Yeah, next time I get to pick the name.
Yes.
That was perfect.
That's good.
We also saw, though, some degree of insubordination from Melinda May.
Oh yeah,
which was interesting. Like, you know, I it didn't surprise me that she would go out on her own to go after this person the way she did. But And granted, obviously they could figure out the clues on their own, but you would think that maybe you'd write something down, or maybe not tell anyone, maybe not wake anyone up, or you know, because you didn't want anyone to stop you, but at least leave some sort of, you know, she's here. I'm going to take her in. Whatever, something along those lines. It took that insurrection to a little bolder of a degree by doing it so, you know, secretly.
But it was stupid too. I
It was
mean,
kind of stupid.
that was stone dumb going in to confront the woman who you
Right.
know is being monitored and standing there right in front of her. I mean, the least she could have done was like, I don't know, you know, stay behind the bed and talk to her before she got up so that you could, you know, at least get a conversation going without having to worry about whoever was controlling or seeing.
Right.
And
And what's her name? That I can't remember the name of the agent that was that they were.
Aquila
Yes, Akila. She.
Almador?
Thank you.
No problem.
Akila had just purposely. If you notice, for most of the conversation, she was looking at the floor. She was purposely not looking up at Melinda May because she knew the consequence of doing so, and didn't do so until that last part where she did and made it clear what would happen if she did. So.
Yeah, the only other thing I'd add to that is that it for the show's tension, I believe they're trying to. I think Melinda May might be a little jealous of Coulson, just a tad, and
Perhaps.
that is what she was testing her trust in him, and actually
Okay.
just completely ignoring it at the time by doing that
Right.
stupid move. But. It goes on to one of the lines in the show near the end was that what Skye was saying that you know to know a peace is to know that somebody's always got your back,
Yeah.
and I think that that's what the whole episode was sort of tying into. It was sort of bringing the team together, you know,
Yep.
in a sort of risky way.
Yeah, and I think it's a theme we've seen for most of the show so far, is there's this team is very loose, they're very young, they're still getting their bearings on how they work together with each other, and I think we're gonna continue seeing more, you know, that go on for a while now. Probably most of at least the first halves of the season before they really get into a good rhythm. And probably for most of the show. But and this might be jumping forward a little bit, but there was all right, well, before I go there, I found the scene where Ward was wearing the glasses and you know pulling off the mission and where he gets the command to seduce the guard.
Oh,
That was great. That
that
was
was awesome.
hilarious.
That's classic Joss Whedon right there.
Yes.
Especially the mild help me.
Yeah.
Tweaked
Help
out
me.
right at the help. That's so good.
Seduce him.
And
Well, and it was
the whole
perfectly because it was like, I'm ready to do whatever it takes to even kill this guy if I have to. Seduce him. Help me.
Dang it.
Now, who at that point did not get a picture of him sashaying up to the guard at that
I actually
Yes.
love how they played it on for, you know, they went on a good 30 seconds for this whole joke, you know, it was really
Yeah.
good. And they
Yeah.
like talking the you know, the sports and then going into, you know, the night out and stuff like that. And
Yeah.
it played well up until the you know, the actual action scene part of it. It
Right.
was really good, really well
Yeah.
played.
So I'm definitely curious what they end like. Hopefully this won't be the last we see of whatever he got into the room. They got a capture of whatever was on that wall. That was the mission. That clearly looked like something alien. Something, you know, written in a way that obviously is not clear English or even any language that I'm familiar with.
It looked like a circuit diagram.
It did. A
At
lot of it looked
first,
like a circuit diagram,
yeah.
but it also looked like it had some sort of. There were vertical lines of some sort of script or text that accompanied it, like somewhere in the area in the middle or right area of it. So I'm curious if that's going to be part of a larger arc that's going to go on throughout the show, throughout the season. That
Well,
there's
it's like,
some. Go ahead.
like John said right at the beginning was, you know, bringing in those over the veils of maybe AIM. You know, like they already used AIM, and they've already brought that into the whole franchise. So they're probably going to use some other, but some massive, you know, cult like.
Right.
I can't even speculate on who they would bring in, but that's what it seems like. That's what is sort of harkening back to. I don't know if anybody's a fan, but X-Files. These kind of mysterious things that just go on all around us. And,
right, these shadow organizations that are happening and pulling the strings.
That brings up a point, though. That it's getting a little bit old of them saying, well, you know, no, there's no such thing as ESP. Well, you know, in this time of day, whatever, with everything we've seen, why don't they just, you know, that got really old with, you know, the X-Files. Yeah, it has to get to a point where if you see a, you know, a god flying around with a magic hammer, you really have to stop saying, oh, that can't happen.
Right.
You know? I did write down in my notes, I said blatant telepathy, big question mark, because I was like, if they didn't have to question it so hard.
Yeah.
You know, you have a very valid point, John. It's like they didn't have to rush into that. They didn't have to just spiel that out. Everyone else assumed it, you know, they could have played it a little better, but yeah.
And I would say, though, in defense of the, you know, the doubting on ESP and telepathy, this is a version of the Marvel Universe where they haven't necessarily introduced the concept of mutants, and they're not keeping continuity with the X-Men movies or anything like that. So it's very possible that we may not, so that's not an idea that people have in their heads. You know, they know the short list of heroes and villains that have been created to date, and it's all been technology based. There is no concept yet of, you know, any sort of the innate, you know, supernatural abilities that these agents have been exposed to so far. So ESP would be a stretch, but that doesn't mean they can't get to that at some point in the future.
Right.
So, there was a little thing that I missed, but I happened to be, you know, doing some Facebook posts and tweeting during the episode that I didn't catch the meaning of. During the show, but a friend of mine pointed out, and it blew my mind a little bit. So there's a scene towards the very, very end, you know, before, I forgot her name again.
Akila
leaves the plane, the bus.
I was hoping you'd get to this,
Where she points out, she asks, what did they do to Coulson?
Yeah.
And you know, it's, you can take it on the surface of like that she just noticed that he's different, but she has the X-ray vision. Right. So, and there was opportunity at some point during her stay on the plane that she could have activated it and seen that he might not be all human.
Yeah, who we think he is. Yeah,
right.
He actually makes a little comment when he's sitting in the room with Skye.
Yeah.
He says, "I was given a second chance." Just saying that, something's up.
But that's him referring to basically being killed by Loki, so...
Yeah.
You know. But is it? I mean, you know, I understand that they're alluding to that.
I think from his perception, that's what the meaning behind it, because I've gotten the impression that he doesn't know... his knowledge of events is that Loki stabbed him, he was technically dead for 8 minutes... They were able to save him and send him to recuperate in Tahiti, which they kept touching on week after week, this magical place.
It's a magical place.
And there's been no evidence that he believes otherwise. But it's also clear that there are other people that know otherwise and know that there's something different about him being around and being alive, but are not at liberty to say or not, you know, in the know of all the details. So clearly we're going to get to that at some point, but they keep building on that mystery. Like, they keep picking at that scab week after week.
Which is good, because it keeps me wanting to watch.
Yeah. So is it better not knowing what she saw than actually having had some sort of reveal by seeing what she saw?
Excellent question. If I were in the circumstance, I would not want to know.
Yeah.
I've always thought this. I would not want to know. Like, there's a thing in the internet I'm sure everyone's aware of. It's called the Death Watch. Mm-hmm. Like, you can calculate the, up to the second that you're supposed to die.
Right,
it's,
right.
It's a grim and very, you know, morbid look at life. But no, you don't. I don't. I personally don't put myself in that philosophy. I don't want to know that.
I think I've actually seen you can buy a watch now that will display that, like a countdown on your wrist.
That's incredible. Oh my gosh.
I'm shaking my head. It's an uplifting message.
Yes,
that we give to our viewers.
Yes. I took it there. Well, I only took it there because they are playing with people's lives. I mean, within the storyline.
Sure.
That's what every character so far is. They're just playing with their lives. Like, they even they allude to it with Skye a little bit. You know, in some of the dialogue, they're talking about her past and stuff like that. So they are messing. They're trying to put drama into it, which I understand. But
yeah,
they're trying to pull those little things out of the backstories, and that's one that I will pay really close attention to, Coulson.
Yeah,
because I would stay in Tahiti. I would make them. Let me stay in Tahiti.
Yeah. But yeah, I think there's definitely, you know, there's a philosophical shift in Coulson, and it's as a result of the events that have happened to him. And I'm going to stick to it's probably no more than that. If you went through that sort of, you know, face with mortality, you're going to definitely change, you know, if you get that time back, you're going to change the way that you do things a little bit. And obviously you could see some, like, the way that he was regretful of how he trained this agent in the past, the way he acted with her. Even though his lessons were sound, he doesn't regret the message, he just regrets the method. So,
yeah.
I think, not to change the subject.
No, go ahead.
But I think we're at a couple of episodes in now, and I think Grant Ward's character is still kind of cardboard.
I think he's supposed to be to a degree. I think he's supposed to be the boilerplate, you know, standard agent that's, you know, ready for normal combat and normal situations. And he's been pulled into this team because Agent Coulson felt he had a place there. That he needed someone like him on the team, which they do. They obviously need at least one agent, but they picked him because I think then we've talked about this before, and it's been talked about on the show, that he is difficult to work with. A lot of people find him abrasive and difficult to work with, so they brought him in to that team to see what they could do with him.
You know,
no one else really wanted to work with him anyway.
You bring up a very good point about the entire group. They're all very difficult to work with. If you look at Fitz and Simmons, I mean, they're field agents now that don't belong there.
Right.
You know, and then you have a field agent that can't, like you said, work with anybody. And then you have
Melinda May, who doesn't want to work at all.
Well, right, yeah. Yeah. And then you have the new character, the new...
Skye, yeah.
Skye. And
who's not an agent in the first place.
Right, exactly. It's a sort of a rogue agent, if you will. A
consultant.
Well, yeah, consultant.
Yes.
You're a consultant.
But yeah,
she needs to mess with Grant more. That's really, they could do so much with that.
Yeah.
Did you guys catch the poker scene?
Oh, yeah.
That was a good one. I like that.
That was a good one.
That's good.
Although, the one thing I will say with this episode, the only small criticism I have with this episode, because I typically watch this with my kids. My kids I sent to bed tonight because I didn't want to have to deal with getting them to bed after the episode. So, right. Which there wasn't enough drama just with the realizing they weren't watching the show tonight.
Yeah.
But it's on the DVR. So
yeah, you can watch it later.
Yeah. So the one thing that I keep touting how they've made this show pretty palatable for a broad audience, and I've liked that so far. But in this episode, not that it's a big thing, but I found it amusing the whole dialogue about the you know, having to go to the bathroom with the water bottle,
yeah.
And Skye's commentary is like, you know how, you know, boys
yeah.
and girls have different parts, and girls don't have penises.
Yeah.
Like, and I was thinking, I found that funny, but I don't know. I mean, I guess my kids are fine with that. That's palatable humor, but it seems
it is,
skirting the line a little.
It's I find it pretty safe. In fact, I was a little worried at the scene. My daughter also watches with me, who's 10.
Yeah.
So I was
you
a little
worried when they told him to seduce him, right?
I was a little worried about. So, well, yeah, no.
Yeah.
The opening scene.
Seduce me, Daddy.
She actually didn't ask, which makes me worry. But the opening scene where it was kind of dark, and I understand that they have to appeal to a mass audience, like you said.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you make a good point, because all of them had their hands cut off, and there was a
small
amount of blood, but there was blood.
Yeah, yeah, and luckily they recovered from that completely for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
But, you know, it did lean me a little towards, like, you know, maybe
yeah.
I'll edit the show for her when she
right, to... right. Yeah, because that is a little touchy. I mean, my son, you know, just turned 7, and, you know, my daughter's almost 10. So it's, knowing my son, he won't notice. But still, it is a little little edgier than they've been so far in the show.
Right, yep.
Well, that's why they've introduced the night-night gun now.
Yeah.
The gun that, the
We're
night,
not
you know,
that.
the nap time gun. The...
Yeah,
well,
good.
There you go.
It's a good touch.
I mean, they're going to follow with like the G.I. Joe, you know, side of things of, you know, a million lasers flying around, nobody dies.
Right. No one
nobody
ever
gets
got
hurt.
Hit in any of those battles.
Yeah. Well, now they can get hit, they won't die, they just go night-night, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, I think we covered things pretty well. I think all in all, it was a decent episode. I enjoyed it. I'd give it probably around a 7, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah, I'm about a 7.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to go a little lower.
That's fine.
Because the story was a little mild. That's all. Like, maybe 6.
Okay.
So you were upset by the blood and the hand, but it was too mild for you. Is that what you're
well,
saying?
I think the story
no, no,
was...
No, 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 the story.
The story
like,
was
I'm not
soft.
Talking about... Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. No, I agree. The story was a little light. It could have used a little bit more. Although, the one thing I've kind of come to expect, like, the past couple episodes... They have been a little on the nose, actually. Like, you see things play out in the beginning that come into play at the end. You know, or come to fruition in some weird way. And that didn't happen this time. Like, when Skye started mentioning ESP and that got shot down so quickly, I almost expected that somehow that would end up being the explanation.
Right.
That they'd play it that way, that it would be... You know, that on the nose. But they didn't, and I'm glad that they didn't. So that I found a little refreshing. But you are right. They were a little... the story was a little soft. But otherwise, I enjoyed it. I thought it was the humor was good.
Yeah. No,
and the dialogue was good.
Yeah.
So.
I will agree with that. The only thing we didn't talk about, which I just need to mention right here at the end.
Sure.
Is the fact that they had the actual guy that was controlling...
Mm-hmm.
Be the same guy that was the, you know, the meetup. So she never, and this is a problem with the...
I missed that.
Akela,
that was the same guy?
Yeah, Akela being an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm.
didn't pick up on that. I mean, she did say that Coulson's good and that he was getting it, like, went sitting talking to her just about the stuff. But
yeah.
You know, the guy that met her for the diamonds at the beginning was the same guy, like, sending her the messages.
Did but did she see him out at that point? Did
no,
she
doesn't know.
Right,
yeah.
So she doesn't know, so she couldn't have made that connection.
Correct, but it's just that they allude. They made you know. I think it was a little faux pas on their
yeah.
part. Just a little.
Though
she's an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I will say though that the one thing that I think they did do well is the fact that like you know Coulson showed his stripes by being able to figure everything out and you know based on. just to text messages that she received from this guy, that he was British, that he was fat fingered, and you know, these various different things. You know, that's Coulson being Coulson.
So. Yeah, it was spot on, and maybe that's why they added it to the story. But I mean, you know,
yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah. So yeah, I think it was good. And for some reason, my battery is about to die. So I think it's a good thing, good for us to wrap up around here. Well, thank you guys for joining me tonight, John, as always, and Pete, thanks for joining us. Hopefully, we'll be able to do this again. You can join us again sometime.
Yeah, sure.
If you want to come back.
I love it.
So,
thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. All right. Good night, everyone. This was Agents of Speak.
Bye, guys.
Hey, everyone. You just listened to an episode of Superhero Speak. This is Dave. You can reach me at dave@superheroespeak.com. Also, if you're listening to this through the website, did you know you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it? So check us out there.
And this is Ben from Superhero Speak, which you can reach at ben@superheroespeak.com. And did you know you could also follow us on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/superheroespeak.
This is John. You can reach me at john@superheroespeak.com, and if you want, there's our Twitter account @superheroespeak.
All right. Thanks, and check us out at those spots.